ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्याज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकायाचक्षूरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्
व्यासं
ततो जायमुदीरये.
We're going to read from the Bhagavatam today, also from the Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And this is the Laghu Bhagavatamrita written by Rupa Goswami. We are Rupanugas, followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. And in the spiritual world, he is Sri Rupa Manjari, an intimate associate of Srimati Radharani. And we know what we know about the process of devotional service because of him. And he has written a book, and somehow or other we ended up with it, bound and beautifully illustrated and meticulously edited by the BBT, namely Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, posthumously because recently, very tragically, he passed away, but he had already finished the translation and continued by another Prabhupada disciple, Mukunda Datta Prabhu and company. There's information in this book that is vital to the devotees in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. You'll notice that throughout Prabhupada's books, he quotes from the Sri Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And this gives the very concise but direct proof from the scriptures of why we worship Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if you can't answer that question, if confronted in an elevator, and do it very quickly, knowing exactly what you're talking about, you need to read this book. And even if you can, you should read the book because it gives the most proficient Shastric references, most useful Shastric references. And as Kaviraj Goswami writes in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Siddhanta Balya Chita Nakara Alash Iha Krishna Lage Sudridmana Manash, that one should not procrastinate about reading such books or discussing them or describing, talking about the minute details of Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Siddhanta, Balya Chitta, one should know the Siddhanta, which means that you have to know what it is and what it isn't. The great acharyas go to great lengths to do this. For instance, they give statements and then they give opposite statements to refute them, and then they answer those doubts, just so that we can very clearly have in mind why we're worshiping Krishna. There is a group of so-called devotees who take the process very cheaply. They're called Sahajiyas, and they say, why read books? We just chant and cry. It's all an emotional process. But the followers of the Goswamis, followers of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, know that without following the Goswamis of Vrindavan, one cannot be successful in serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot understand Radha and Krishna. It's impossible. And to follow the Goswamis of Vrindavan and all these other great acharyas, one should know the Shastras perfectly and completely. One should make a dedicated research, all these books. One should read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam multiple times, make it a goal before you leave this little teeny human body, frail body, to take in the verses of the Bhagavatam. How many times could you do in your lifetime? Maybe starting now? given that what you are all in your 20s now. You could do 30 times. Say if you're going to live 30 more years, what if you made a goal and said, I'll read the Bhagavatam 30 more times? If I'm going to live 30 years, if you're going to live 50 years, say, I read the Bhagavatam 50 times between now and when I leave. And how would you rearrange your life to do that? This is a science. And the more one understands this science, the more one enters within the Bhagavatam, one will realize how it's unlimited. And one then becomes absorbed in thinking about Krishna's pastimes. And as we just heard from the chapter, Taraka Brahma Yoga, that this is very much necessary for the human being to be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So this book is now available. Actually, it's almost sold out. There was only a small number printed on the first printing, and I vowed to sell them all out here in America before the end of the year, and hopefully before the end of September. So there's just a couple hundred copies left out of the 900 we received. So here's a few of them left. They're for those who are ordering at home, they're $20. Is that correct? Okay. And if you're buying in quantity by the case lot, call us and we'll talk. Because it's nice, you can get them at a wholesale price, and then you can distribute them in your community and so forth. It's a worshipable book because it's written by Rupa Goswami, so it's important to have and keep and respect. And at the very least, if you're still finishing your Bhagavatam and all the other books that Srila Prabhupada wrote, then at least when you come across a Lagu Bhagavatamrita quote in his books, which you will frequently, you should look it up, cross-reference it. Get used to cross-referencing all these things, because that way you get an idea of how they all fit together and that they actually exist. It's not just some concept. It's actually a book written by an acharya who comes from the spiritual world. And knowing those kinds of things is very important for our practice of devotional service. It gives us determination. Siddhanta bolaya chitana kara alash iha hoite Krishna lage sudrid manash. Sudrid manash means the mind becomes sudrida, means it becomes fixed in serving Krishna. That's happiness. Fixed on one thing, and that is serving Krishna. Tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan satvatam patihi shrotavya kirti davyascha deya pujascha nityada. With one-pointed attention, one should hear about, remember, worship the personality of Godhead, who is the master of the devotees. Swayambhu jaksha kila sattvadami samadhi na veshita chaitasayake. This verse also, for the prayers by the demigods to Krishna within the womb, says that one should be in samadhi on Krishna. And being in samadhi on the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita and so forth, having it be one's life and soul, one's very breath, is, in other words, we should wake up with it. We should go to sleep with it. We should be breathing Bhagavatam all day long. Verses coming in and out. In the ears, into the heart, speaking the verses constantly and thinking about them. And we should be discussing Krishna's pastimes in minute detail whenever the opportunity arises. Be in the association of devotees that are eager to hear about Krishna. And by such a practice, gradually, one becomes attracted to the pastimes of Krishna, which is the same as becoming attracted to Krishna. And this is why the Bhagavatam has come to us, to give us this opportunity to become attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. And in that way, as Krishna says in the Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyakva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sojana. Interestingly, he says tatvata, you should know in truth, which means that you have to know the tattva and the siddhanta. You have to know clearly how all this fits together. So, two things I mentioned in the title for this class, which we don't have too much time for today because there's an SASS coming up this morning in an hour, which is that some of the kids who are learning to present Bhagavatam will be coming up to give some short exposition on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And so I mentioned in the title that there are two things that you can do in the material world that you can't do in the spiritual world. One of them is preach Krishna consciousness. Because in the spiritual world, who are you going to preach to? And the other is killing demons. Actually, as far as killing demons, Krishna does that. And although Prabhupada said several times that we should kill demons, he then quickly gave the caveat that that means that we should kill their demoniac spirit. Because in Kali Yuga, practically everyone is infected with this demoniac spirit, having received misinformation about the origin of the world, of their very self, and so forth, and having heard very little about the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the purpose of life, we can kill the demoniac spirit in the world by teaching Krishna consciousness. So, a couple things about teaching Krishna consciousness and how important it is. One point is that in the prayers by the personified Vedas, the Vedas personify say that the most wonderful of all of Krishna's pastimes, do you know what it is? What do they say is the most wonderful of all of Krishna's pastimes? Vrindavan pastimes, Giriraj, anybody else? Lifting Govardhan Hill, anyone else? What? Makhanchor? They say the most wonderful of all Krishna's pastimes is coming to the material world to save the conditioned souls. And that's his pastime in the material world, Srishti Lila. He creates the world to give an opportunity for the conditioned souls to come back home, back to Godhead. What an opportunity that is for those who have come in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just imagine, this is the most wonderful of all Krishna's pastimes, saving the conditioned souls. It's not easy either to pull one person out of the material world. It takes a lot of effort, and consternation. So, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fixed on this mission that give everyone Krishna consciousness, he told all of us to take this up, teach Krishna consciousness to others, and this will be the greatest kind of service that you can do. In the Gita, Krishna says that those who teach the message of Bhagavad Gita to others are most dear to me. And so, regarding this opportunity that we have, being that we're in the material world, since we have to hang around here anyway, it's a good idea to find out what one can do here to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'm going to read another small section from this book that somebody gave me. And the book's called Our Family Business, which refers to the family business of teaching Krishna consciousness to others. And there's a chapter in this book called Confidential Service. I read the last section of it the other day in relationship, or yesterday, actually, yesterday morning, in relationship to how it is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of spreading Krishna consciousness is in the mood of the gopis, as Prabhupada confirmed. Since it was Radhashtami, I thought it would be appropriate to talk about that. And now I'm going to read the first part of the chapter, which talks about how important this kind of service is and how it's pleasing to Krishna. And keeping in mind the context, and that is that this is something you can do in the material world a lot. In the spiritual world, it's not so much available. Chapter 12, Confidential Service. It was ink dark one Sunday at 4 a.m. a number of years ago when I slipped out of my apartment on Charnock Avenue in Los Angeles, California. I was walking to Mangal Arti. 3 blocks from the temple, I turned onto Watseka Avenue, and a group of revelers in a white SUV slowed down to check me out. As I looked up, my gaze caught one of theirs, and we both shrugged as if to say, "What are you doing up at this time in the morning?" Freshly bathed, having just applied tilak, I felt invigorated. I was starting my day. The merrymakers, on the other hand, were rumpled, blurry-eyed, and on their way home from the L.A. bar scene, winding up what looked like a long Saturday night. In a few minutes, I would enter the effulgent atmosphere of Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadisha's temple and sing and dance in ecstasy with their devotees. The carousers, like millions of others Los Angelinos, however, would be falling into bed, probably sleeping past noon and waking up to the sound of afternoon television. This encounter brought to mind Krishna's words in the Gita 2:69, "What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage." Thankfully, Srila Prabhupada in his transcendental books had introduced me to Lord Chaitanya's teachings and the process of pure devotional service, and I was awake and living on the light side of the night. This is the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's movement. Although Kali Yuga is infamous for obscuring the light of Dharma, the confidential devotees of Mahaprabhu are never bewildered. Rather, they celebrate the arrival of this dark age because it heralds the appearance of the golden avatar, Lord Chaitanya, by whose merciful light even the downtrodden can take to the process of pure devotional service to Lord Krishna, the King of Vrindavan. Prabodhananda Saraswati writes, "I pray that the splendid moonlight of Lord Chaitanya Chandra, which dispels the darkness in the hearts of the entire world, which stirs tidal waves in the nectar ocean of pure love of Krishna, and which instills coolness in a universe burning day and night in the threefold miseries of material existence, may shine in our hearts." In this chapter, I list the reasons why those who distribute Srila Prabhupada's transcendental books stand in the light and shine that light into the dark for the benefit of others. This act constitutes confidential service to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a service that brings satisfaction to the self and takes one back to the topmost planet in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada confirms the liberated status of those who spread the Sankirtan movement in his purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 11:89. Quote, "One should not think that because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally present 500 years ago, only his associates were liberated. Rather, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says that anyone is a Nitya Siddha if he acts on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by spreading the glories of the holy name of the Lord. We should respect those devotees preaching the glories of the Lord as Nitya Siddha and should not consider them conditioned." Unquote. This is service. The word confidential comes from the Latin for trusted. The following verse, an excerpt from a conversation between Lord Chaitanya and his intimate associate, Haridas Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada's purport to it, elaborate on how a person becomes a deeply trusted servant of Lord Chaitanya by reaching out to save fallen souls. Quote, "My dear Lord, do not be in anxiety. Do not be unhappy to see the condition of the yavanas in material existence." Purport. These words of Haridas Thakur are just befitting a devotee who has dedicated his life and soul to the service of the Lord. When the Lord is unhappy because of the condition of the fallen souls, the devotee consoles him, saying, "My dear Lord, do not be in anxiety." This is service. Everyone should adopt the cause of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and try to relieve him from the anxiety he feels. This is actually service to the Lord. One who tries to relieve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's anxiety for the fallen souls is certainly a most dear and confidential devotee of the Lord. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees serve him best by spreading the Sankirtan movement in order to uplift the poor conditioned souls who have fallen into the material world. Srila Prabhupada writes, "As a good son of the father behaves in a friendly way with all his other brothers, so also the devotee of the Lord, being a good son of the Supreme Father, Lord Krishna, sees all other living beings in relation with the Supreme Father. He tries to bring back the upstart sons and the father to a saner stage and to get them to accept the Supreme Fatherhood of God." Unquote. Why is this considered intimate service? Because it relieves the anxiety the Lord feels seeing the conditioned souls suffering in material existence. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 4.11.14, Swayambhuva Manu confirms in a statement to Dhruva Maharaj the power of satisfying the Lord. Quote, "One who actually satisfies the Supreme Personality of Godhead during one's lifetime becomes liberated from the gross and subtle material conditions. Thus, being freed from all material modes of nature, he achieves unlimited spiritual bliss." Unquote. Become an intimate friend. Krishna reciprocates with the sincere service of his devotee, and an intimate friendship blossoms between the two. In his purport to Bhagavad Gita 9.29, Srila Prabhupada explains how this friendship develops. Quote, "One may question here that if Krishna is equal to everyone and no one is his special friend, then why does he take a special interest in the devotees who are always engaged in his transcendental service? But this is not discrimination, it is natural. Any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. The Lord claims that every living entity in whatever form is his son, and so he provides everyone with a generous supply of the necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on rock or land or water. But for his devotees, he gives specific attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They are always in Krishna consciousness, and therefore they are always transcendentally situated in Krishna." The very phrase, Krishna consciousness, suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in him. The Lord says here, distinctly, "Mayite, they are in me." Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This also explains the words, "Ye yata mam prapatyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham." Whoever surrenders unto me, proportionately I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because both the Lord and the devotees are conscious. Unquote. In the Nectar of Devotion, page 96, Srila Prabhupada describes two ways in which a devotee becomes an intimate friend of the Lord. The first is to act as the confidential servant of the Lord, and the other is to act as the well-wisher of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada goes on to say that a devotee shows the first kind of friendship by systematically following the rules and regulations of devotional service with faith that in doing so, he or she will reach the platform of transcendental life. And in that same section, Srila Prabhupada describes the second kind of friendship. Quote, "The second display of devotional friendship, becoming a well-wisher of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is attained by those who teach Krishna's confidential message of devotional service to others." Unquote. The act of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books brings Krishna's message to others, an act that Krishna says in the Gita is most pleasing to him. In the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.64, Srila Prabhupada again explains how one who spreads the Sankirtan movement becomes a confidential servant of the Lord. Quote, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient. But to enjoy his transcendental bliss, he requires the cooperation of his devotees. In Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in himself, he wants the cooperation of his devotees, like the cowherd boys and the gopis, to increase his transcendental bliss. Such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly most dear to him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of his devotees, but because he is unlimited, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. Thus, he descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto him because, unlimited as he is, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. The Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. It is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. Although the Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, he does not feel transcendental bliss without his devotees. An example that may be cited in this regard is that if a very rich man does not have sons and a family, he does not feel happiness. Indeed, sometimes a rich man adopts a son to complete his happiness. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. Unquote. By engaging in the confidential service of book distribution, the distributors attract Krishna's grace and are constantly enlivened by his friendly reciprocation. Transcendental anxiety. Of course, distributing books is not without its challenges. And challenges produce anxiety in the mind and heart of the devotee. I have seen many a Sankirtan leader lose sleep from worrying about how to meet goals he or she has set for book distribution. Just as business persons become absorbed in developing plans to increase productivity and deal with the daily anxieties of reversals and problems, so do book distributors. This anxiety, purified of selfish motives, deepens one's intimate relationship with the Lord. The Bhakti Ratnakar describes the angst Srinivas, Narottam, and Shyamananda felt after they discovered that the Goswami's precious books they had been entrusted to distribute in Bengal had been stolen. But the transcendental anxiety from the mishap empowered them to understand what steps to take in order to retrieve their sacred literature, their sacred treasure. Srila Prabhupada confirms this truth in a room conversation dated April 26, 1976. Guru Kripa. So, some people say that when I go on Sankirtan to sell books, I become in too much anxiety if I'm not doing well, so I'd rather not do it. Prabhupada. No, that is Krishna anxiety. He does not know. Let him know that that is Krishna anxiety. Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, became mother of Krishna so that she should always remain in anxiety for Krishna, whether Krishna is safe. That is mother's anxiety. Therefore, she became mother. How to become in Krishna anxiety, this philosophy nobody knows. Unquote. Whatever a devotee's service, the greater the personal responsibility he or she feels to advance the Sankirtan movement, the deeper the transcendental anxiety he or she develops. Devotees who know this secret voluntarily tie themselves to Mahaprabhu's lotus feet with the ropes of transcendental anxiety. Last section. Transcendental maneuvers. The devotees who have tied themselves most tightly to the Lord's lotus feet with the ropes of Krishna anxiety live in the spiritual world. In Sri Radhika Stava of the Stavamala, Srila Rupa Goswami explains the confidential nature of their service. There he says that Srimati Radharani, Krishna's dearest and most perfect devotee, is always anxious to make arrangements to bring others closer to Krishna. She is heavily laden with mercy, karuna parite, and is restless to distribute that mercy everywhere. In teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada reveals Srimati Radharani's tender-hearted selflessness. Quote, although the associates of Radharani do not expect any personal attention from Krishna, Radharani is so pleased with them that she arranges individual meetings between Krishna and the damsels of Raj. Indeed, Radharani tries to unite her associates with Krishna by many transcendental maneuvers, and she takes more pleasure in these meetings than in her own meeting with Krishna. When Krishna sees that both Radharani and her associates are pleased by his association, he becomes more satisfied. Unquote. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states that in Kali Yuga, Radha and Krishna, although eternally two personalities, appear as one, Eka Atmanau. In that radiant golden form of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna takes on the mood of Srimati Radharani and gives the highest spiritual favors to everyone in a way that no other incarnation has ever done before. The Navadip Vrindavan link. In his commentary on the Sri Brahma Samhita 5.5, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati elucidates the relationship between the servants of Lord Chaitanya and those of Radha and Krishna, and reveals that the forms of Lord Chaitanya and his intimate associates are, like those of Radha and Krishna, eternal in the spiritual realm. Quote, the pure devotees following the devotees of Raja and those following the pure devotees in Navadvip are located in the realm of Krishna and Gaura, respectively. The identical devotees of Raja and Navadvip simultaneously attain to the pleasures of service in the realm of Krishna and Gaura. Srila Prabhupada showed this relationship between Lord Krishna's and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes graphically by commissioning one of his artists to paint the first illustration for his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The work depicts Lord Chaitanya and his associates dancing in Sankirtan on the bottom half of the canvas, and Lord Krishna and the gopis in the Rasa dance on the top half. When Lord Chaitanya comes to the material world, his associates from the spiritual world come with him to taste and distribute the fruits of pure love for Krishna to the world. Quote, the internal devotees or potencies are all eternal associates in the pastimes of the Lord. Only with them does the Lord advent to propound the Sankirtan movement. Only with them does the Lord taste the mellow of conjugal love. And only with them does he distribute this love of God to the people in general. The recipients of these fruits who taste them and distribute them not only become confidential servants of Lord Chaitanya, they also come to understand the mystery of the most esoteric personal form of Godhead, Radha and Krishna. And then the next part is what I read already yesterday, which is called The Mood of the Gopis. And how preaching, especially I'm talking here about book distribution, is in that mood. And now we'll take some reflections, anything that you heard so far, before I go on to killing demons. Mukharavind.
Thank you for bringing such an important point about what we can't do in the spiritual world. And I like the point when you started that how we should completely absorb ourselves in and reading the sastras, especially Bhagavatam, and see how many years you are remaining and how what priority you are having and how you can, how many times you can read and absorb yourself. So that is a nice instruction, and definitely the section. Thank you for reading such a sweet section from your book, Our Family Business. Especially how we are. I could see like how much grateful you have for Srila Prabhupada. Each and every line of the book is nothing more than Prabhupada's quote. And actually, I just recall that, oh, I miss so much reading of Prabhupada's book. There's so much things, and everything is there in Prabhupada's book. It's just as we grow in our realizations, we see and we learn more from the books and absorb more. And one particular section that you wrote, like how Nitya Siddha, everyone, whoever is assisting the, is from, I think, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 11.89, in which you quoted that is how whoever is assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are all Nitya Siddha devotee, they are not ordinary person.
Yes.
Thank you.
And this is an app that I've been using on my phone for a while. It's called Time Notes. And whatever your goal is in the future, for instance, a while back before, it was like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I knew that my 60th birthday was coming up. So I marked it down to see how many, you know, I knew how many years, but days, weeks, months, seconds, and so forth. And then I was thinking that, you know, how much can I accomplish between now and then? How could I actually improve myself? And started counting down and all the other ones. And then it's interesting, once it passes the goal, then it starts going red and it tells you how many days since you went over that mark. And watching this little device, this little app, and counting the time between various goals before and after makes me much more aware. If I could actually pinpoint when I had to leave my body, and I could put that in here and say, oh, look, you only have so many days left, and you start counting them down, then by the law of forced efficiency, it starts saying, what's the most important? What kinds of activities should I be most enthusiastic about? And when one of them that comes to mind is increasing the hearing, especially of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's not that many people, even on the planet these days, that have given a full study to the Srimad Bhagavatam and are really absorbed in it. And we have full permission to do that. Tasmade kena manasa bhagavan sattvatambati. Why not? Why not you? Why not take the time to do that? Make a plan and see how can I become more absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. All the prophets' purports are there. The full 12 cantos are there. All the commentaries of the acharyas are represented there. And see what happens. Yes.
This is a comment from internet, from Mali Mataji. And she says, Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for reading this section of OFB. I like the section where the Sankirtan devotees are assisting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to relieve his anxiety. Also the part that there are two things we cannot do in the spiritual world, preaching and killing demons. We can satisfy our desire to preach as much as possible now, because the whole world is an opportunity for us to do that.
Yeah, thank you very much. You see, our whole stay here in the material world, now that we're connected with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can do something that even the residents in the spiritual world can't do, which is take full advantage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to preach Krishna consciousness. And simultaneously, we kill the demoniac spirit in the world. That's very much part of Krishna's program. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He comes again and again to establish religious principles, to put his devotees in charge. He went through the whole exercise of the Kurukshetra battle just to make sure that Yudhishthir, the Pandavas, were back in charge, because he has a duty to make sure there's a facility in the material world for living entities to come up, to become advanced. And if you have, you know, the kind of modern politicians that are now vying for power, you're not going to get that. They're all speculating wildly about how to do this and do that. Of course, Kali Yuga is a difficult time. But we can do our part to the best of our ability and be intimately connected with Krishna through his mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, of killing the demoniac spirit in the world. What else? Yes.
I like the point where you told about the reason why, the most wonderful reason why Krishna comes to the world is to save the conditioned souls.
Yeah, it's his most wonderful pastime. This pastime of saving the conditioned souls. Yeah.
And the another point from the...
You're part of it. That's the wonderful thing. You know, it's like you can you can join up and be part of that most wonderful pastime, saving the conditioned souls.
And another point which you read from the Nectar of Devotion at page 96, it says about the two friendships, the two ways which we can have friendship. One is by practicing and taking in the devotional service, and the other is by helping out the people.
It's very relatable, isn't it? Sometimes when we talk about becoming a friend of Krishna, it seems like, well, that seems like it's an impossible task. How to connect to that seems very far away. But Prabhupada puts in such practical terms in that section. If you're trying, if you're following the rules and regulations that Krishna has given through the disciplic succession, you're friends with him. After all, I read last night, or I recited, karma bhya parito hare pritya victim yurgyaninas, that the karmis are dear to Krishna. Those karmis that are following the karmakanda section of the Vedas, we may, from our perspective, say, well, that's Maya, you know, they're only interested in material elevation. But because they're trying to follow the Vedas, even though they're materialistically motivated, they're still dear to Krishna. What to speak of those who have this Rajavidya, Rajaguyam, they have the most intimate understanding of what Krishna wants, and they're doing that. And following. Also, there's a verse that I read in conjunction with deity worship that says that those who don't follow the rules and regulations of the deity worship, they just concoct their own thing, or they cut all kinds of corners. They're my enemies. Because they're not interested in following what I have to say. Conversely, those who actually try to follow these things, sometimes the mind may say, oh, why don't I just be spontaneous and not do these rules? Oh, there was a devotee here once who, you know, we asked him to do Mangal Arati, and he came and he was an hour late. And I said, what are you doing? You can't do it an hour late. He goes, Krishna just accepts the love and it doesn't matter. And I was like, it does matter. Part of the love part means you show up on time. You know? And so there's a way, just by, we can remember this by conforming our lives to the ways in which Krishna has described the rules and has given the rules in the Pancharatriki Vidhi, is a way of showing our friendship to Krishna. Say, yeah, I'm going to live like by your rules, not by my own rules. And then the other point of teaching Krishna consciousness, then one becomes a friend to Krishna. And Prabhupada once gave the example of somebody who is a supporter of a famous man and goes around and gives all kinds of propaganda, teaches, glorifies the person, you know, so that they can become more famous. Will not that person feel indebted? Will not that person extend his resources and say, you know, he's with me, I'll take care of him, no problem. And Krishna is such a grateful personality, and he has unlimited resources. For those who dedicate themselves to this idea of spreading his fame all over the world, they become intimately connected with him right away. These are very practical and relatable items. Thanks for bringing that up. What else? Hansapriya, because she came in from the kitchen, has her apron on. If you're wearing an apron when you come in, you get priority.
Thank you.
Throw a little flour on your face and you get moved to the front of the line.
Two things I really liked. One, that you mentioned the importance of Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And it really dawned me that it's such a beautiful description that you gave, that how important is this book, this literature that is given to us by our acharyas. And you also made a point about the anxiety, that, you know, we can help Krishna Chaitanya reveal his anxiety by taking a part of it. And I was thinking two together, that like Gopi Pranadhana Prabhu gave us this and he left, and Krishna has given us all this beautiful mercy and he wants us to be part of it. And if we don't take advantage of it, you know, just like Gopi Pranadhana Prabhu, he gave this book, but then he left. And here we have all this, and if we don't take advantage of it, you know, we won't be able to help relieving the anxiety that Lord Chaitanya has. And it is a beautiful thing that he wants us to be part of it, even though we think that we are not qualified, I can't do much, I don't really need to take it seriously. But just like Gopi Pranadhana Prabhu, he just left. He left us, and so we have everything, And if we don't take it, we are almost gone, like gone. You know?
Yeah. Thank you. Nice realizations. And just, you were saying how we may not feel qualified. I was reading a couple of days ago about Trivakra. When Krishna goes to Mathura, he meets this hunchback woman who's carrying ointments for the king. And Krishna said, what do you have there? And she said, ointments, but it's for the king, but I'd rather give it to you. You're so handsome. And then, you know, it's like, please help yourself. And Krishna, of course, as you know, he put his fingers like this and he straightened her out and she became a very beautiful woman. And then he went and visited her house and liberated her by his personal touch. And the acharyas mentioned there that it's amazing that all she did was offer a little ointment. It was the work that she was doing anyway, delivering the ointment, but she just had this sentiment like, you're so nice, you're beautiful, why don't you take this? And because of that one gesture, Krishna gave her such importance in his eternal lila. And so no one can estimate the benefit that one gets from extending oneself selflessly. I mean, just like, you know, we're working here in this little place in the center of Silicon Valley, and you clean the temple and then it becomes dusty, and the next day you clean it again, and we're doing so many services over and over and again. We can't estimate the value of using up a lifetime like this just for this dedication. Even one gesture, what to speak of a whole lifetime of this, and then finding out what's most dear to Krishna. And then just trying to do that, even if you don't feel yourself very proficient at it, as long as you try, Krishna will count that. He counts that sentiment that you're doing the best that you can. Ram Sundar. Thank you.
So I really like the line where you said Krishna conscious movement is an attempt to increase pure devotees of the Lord. So that one line is like a big paradigm shift. We always focus on ourselves, but now we feel more responsible because we want to increase pure devotees.
Yeah, and we say, I make one devotee at a time, beginning with myself. And the biggest project of all is to actually become a pure devotee oneself, using one's free will, because it's the most, in my opinion, interesting aspect of being a human being is you can actually come face to face with your free will. You can look it right in the face. It'll come up as on a movie screen. You say, this way or that way? And then you can be conscious, I get to decide. And it makes all the difference in the world. And then that it's the integrity that one shows to oneself that I choose this way, I keep choosing this way for Krishna, even when I go home. In public, sometimes it's more compelling. It's like, yeah, I do like this. But when one goes home and is away, this is the advancement of a devotee who understands that Krishna is everywhere. The neophyte comes to the temple and says, Krishna's here, but when I go home, I'm good. I'm on my own now. But the devotees who are advanced, they see the universality of the deity. They see Krishna within everything and everywhere and always feel that Krishna is witnessing their activities. And therefore, imagine the level of happiness that such a person feels by having complete fidelity. This is where real happiness comes from. Absolute, 100% complete fidelity to Krishna and his desires and his injunctions 24 hours a day. And staying in tune with that at every second. This is real satisfaction. Ahaituki apratiyata. Then one can really feel satisfaction of the self. Never going out of tune. Ramananda Sakra Prabhu. By the way, we welcome all the beautiful devotees who have joined us online today. Let's please say a big Hare Krishna for everyone. Hare Krishna!
This is another comment from internet viewer, and he is Vaikuntha Nayak Prabhu.
Vaikuntha Nayak.
Dandavat Maharaja, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. The point I liked is, Krishna is unlimited and he can enjoy with unlimited devotees. By preaching, we are helping increase Krishna's pleasure as he can interact with more and more devotees.
Thank you very much, Vaikuntha Naik. Yes.
So initially you said, you know, when you showed the Laghu Bhagavatamrita that we should learn, and you said that, you know, when we read Prabhupada's books, we should cross-referencing between scriptures, because then we'll know that these are all real. It's not like something made up. So that's something I...
Yeah. I mean, we have a sense that it's not something made up, but it makes it more tangible for us. And there's a term which you'll hear in Srinivasacharya's prayer or a song about the six Goswamis, Shastra Sunipuna. This is also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing the Uttama Adhikari as this not only firm faith, but is also Shastra Sunipuna, which means that the person is a Shastric genius of sorts, knows how it all fits together, and knows, has surveyed the entire canon of Gaudiya Vaishnava literature in the context of our tradition, knows how they all fit, knows how they all point to the same place. This is vitally important. Therefore, Prabhupada, in the beginning, even when devotees were neophytes, they were first coming to the temple, he had 5 classes a day. Did you know that? 5 classes a day, throughout the day. See, devotees would come and they'd move into the temple. And then Mangal Artik, and then Bhagavatam class, and then Prasadam, and then there would be a nectar devotion class. And then in the evening there was a Gita class. In the afternoon somewhere there was a break for a Krishna book class. And there were these classes that would go on all day long, because it's necessary to be firmly fixed in the practice to be Shastra Sunipuna. You have to imbibe all of the teachings and know where they all come from and know what they all mean, to actually be fully dedicated to the process of devotional service. Yes?
Maharaj, I like the point of where you said that one should be breathing Bhagavatam all day long, and then we should discuss minute details of Krishna's pastimes, and that way one gets attracted to the pastimes of Krishna, which is similar to getting attracted to Krishna.
Yes, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was famous for singing Bhagavatam. That was his service. He could sing the Bhagavatam in 5 beautiful melodious tunes, and he would do that in the service of the devotees. He would always be reciting Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam. So that's a bona fide service that you can do. I talk a little bit about the difference between Goloka Vrindavan, Gokula Vrindavan. In Gokula Vrindavan, boy, you go through Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto, and there's something so special about the Krishna's earthly pastimes, because in the earthly pastimes, first of all, his birth, is here. He takes birth apparently as the child of Vasudeva and Devaki, but then the acharyas say how he's actually born from Yashoda simultaneously. And when Vasudeva brings Vasudeva Krishna there, he merges into the body of Krishna, and so forth. But there's a kind of feeling that Krishna is born in that village and that he belongs to everybody there. It's very special. And the demons, one after another, who come to the Vraj to kill Krishna, there's this constant tension and anxiety that we feel in the pastimes, because Krishna's playing with his friends, and then these really scary kind of demons come in. And Krishna roughs them up in really interesting ways. I mean, the descriptions in the Bhagavatam about he cracking their heads open, you know, punching them in the mouth and then inflating his hand and things like that. The way he kills a Kuvalayapita by breaking off his tusk and beating him with it. And of course, Balaram killing Tenukasura, that jackass. And So many pastimes are there. And in Goloka, what are the pastimes for killing demons? There's different thoughts about that. I still have to find the reference, but I heard that Prabhupada said that in Goloka, there are no demons, but there are rumors about the demons. That the demons are coming and so forth. And in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami gives some description about the atmosphere in Goloka Vrindavan. And some of the ways in which Krishna performs his pastimes, including dealing with the demons, which is different from the way he deals with them here. You want to hear a little part of it?
Yes.
Abhishta labha, the attainment of all desires. I mean, who wouldn't want to read that? Boy, if we had more time, we'd read the whole thing. But I'll just have to do excerpts because we are running out of time. This is from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, part 2, volume 3, called The Glories of Goloka, concluded. Starting on text 1, Sri Gopa Kumar said, following Narada's instructions here in Vraj, I went to see the many places of Sri Krishna's pastimes. I sang his names most dear to me. I sang about his pastimes loudly and sweetly. I focused my mind upon them, and I attained such a state of ecstasy and became so emotional that it embarrasses me even to think of it. How then can I describe this to anyone else? Commentary. In this sixth chapter, Gopa Kumar goes to Goloka and meets Sri Krishna. Krishna shows him special mercy, and Gopa Kumar joins the pastimes of that world. The first 5 verses show the good fortune Gopa Kumar gained by following the instructions of Sri Narada Muni. This good fortune will be his means of achieving Goloka. While visiting Sri Vrindavan on earth, Gopa Kumar saw with his own eyes Krishna performing his coward pastimes. As a result, Gopa Kumar's mind reached a rare level of ecstasy and manifested such exceptional states as unmada, divine madness. I spent my days and nights in great distress, always crying in a pitiful voice, not knowing whether the practice I had so long been following would lead me to happiness or cast me into an ocean of distress. Commentary, is difficult for Gopa Kumar to describe his embarrassing state, but because of his special affection for the Mathura Brahmana, he will try to explain it to some extent. The Mathura Brahmana is his disciple. And Gopa Kumar came from the spiritual world just to guide this devotee home. It was Srimati Radharani's will that go and guide him. So Gopa Kumar came. See, the Mathura Brahmana was from a family of Shaktas. They worship Kamakya Devi. They're part of an area from Assam. And he was a very sincere but uneducated young boy, Brahmin. And in a dream, his deity, his family deity, Kamakya Devi, who's a deity of Durga, instructed him that he should chant this mantra. And he gave him a Krishna mantra. The mantra that we also get when we take this diksha, and this very powerful mantra that one repeats 3 times a day. And so, actually, he heard the instruction, he wasn't able to take it up, and then it got re-emphasized. I think Lord Shiva, Parvati, appeared to him and said, take the mantra, it was given to you. So he begins to chant the mantra, and the mantra transports him in various ways. But because he doesn't have a guru, he's really haphazardly moving about by the power of the mantra. It shows also in this pastime, or in this context, how important it is to have a guru, because although he had the mantra, he didn't have the guru, and he was not very directed. So Srimati Radharani sent Gopa Kumar to come help this brahmana, and he met him in Vrindavan. or rather the mature Brahmin met Gopal Kumar, because he went to Vrindavan and he heard some singing in the bushes, so he went there and he found this beautiful cowherd and he thought it was Krishna. And he offered obeisances, and Gopal Kumar said, "No, no, no, I'm not Krishna. I'm just this humble servant." But then he said, "I'm going to tell you my story, because although Vaishnavas don't like to tell their own story, because it's so powerful to tell one's own story in Krishna consciousness, and it'll help you in your devotional service, I'm going to tell my story." So he's telling a story about how he went back to Godhead. And that's the subject of the two-thirds of this book, Brihat-Bhagavatamrita. Gopal Kumar began his spiritual practice the day he left home as a young boy, and now all his practice seems to be reaching its culmination. But now he is uncertain whether the final result will be happy. Gopal Kumar expresses himself here as in a narrative present case. Thus he says, "Na ved me," literally, "I do not know." But this clearly implies that this doubt has been with him for a long time and will continue for some time more. I couldn't tell whether I was living in the flames of a forest fire or in the supreme nectar of the clear, cool waters of the Jamuna. Sometimes I thought I had fallen into the hands of some great deceiver. I was always submerged in a vast ocean of misery. Not even a drop of happiness ever touched me. In such a way, I lived in this grove, this most attractive ornament of Vrindavan, and one day, while immersed in an ocean of weeping, I fell unconscious. Then the crest jewel of all who are merciful appeared before me. With his own lotus hand, a hand cool like nectar, and always pleased to hold his flute, he wiped the dust from my limbs. It wasn't easy, but that greatest of cheats playfully stirred me back to consciousness by filling my nostrils with his unique heady fragrances, which I had never known before. Commentary: Sri Madan Gopal Dev appeared in person before Gopal Kumar to award him the highest perfection. Gopal Kumar was in a deep swoon, oblivious to everything around him, but Krishna's presence awakened one of his senses, namely the sense of smell. Because Krishna, the most expert enchanter, knows very well how to stir the senses of even an unconscious person, Gopal Kumar wants to acknowledge Krishna's omniscience by speaking of him as Mahabhignavara, the best of those who know everything. But the ecstasy of his love transforms that original idea, and it comes out from his mouth as Mahaduritavara, the greatest of cheats. Gopal Kumar's ecstasy forces him to reason. Although Krishna may now be wiping my body with his own hands, soon enough that same Krishna is just as likely to abandon me. Then, seeing his lotus face, I quickly stood up. Not knowing what I was doing, my heart filling with joy, I tried to catch hold of his splendid yellow cloth. That king of charming heroes blew his flute in his own playful way and escaped behind me. Suddenly he stepped into a grove, and alas, although I ran about looking, I couldn't find him. He had disappeared. Unable to see him, I fainted and fell into the swift current of the Jamuna. As it forcefully carried me away, I seemed to regain normal awareness and looked around. Commentary: Gopal Kumar says that he seemed to regain consciousness. Labva eva sangyam. Because he had not actually lost his awareness, his fainting was not a material disturbance, but an external symptom of ecstasy. His recovery of normal consciousness was also only apparent, because the abnormal bewilderment of his prema had still not subsided. Two verses later, he will describe his collecting his wits, which shows that now, at this earlier moment, he was still disoriented. I saw myself being transported to another place, along some wonderful path, by a vehicle flying faster than the mind and higher than one could imagine. Commentary: Gopal Kumar couldn't identify the vehicle that took him away, so he refers to it as a certain vehicle, Yanena Kinapi. He could only say that it was moving upward at a speed greater than that of the mind. The path the vehicle took was also unfamiliar and not able to be identified. So Gopa Kumar could only describe it as most amazing. It was utterly different from any road he had ever traveled before. The scenic route. Take the scenic route. So that's an airplane taking him back to Goloka. So from there, just in summary, because I have 5 minutes, he comes to Goloka, to Goloka Dham. And there, he can't discern any difference between what it looks like in Gokula and what it looks like in Goloka. And he meets the various residents there. And at first he takes some of them to be rude because they won't speak to him. And then he finds out that actually they're stunned in ecstasy. It's one of the symptoms of this prema. They can't speak because it's the daytime and Krishna's away in the forest, and out of separation they're like speechless. And in this section also, Sanatana Goswami talks about some of the pastimes Krishna performs there in the spiritual world, and the pastime, for instance, of Kaliya and of Arishtasura and the bull demon, and Kaliya is the big snake and so forth. They're quite different in Goloka than they are in Gokula. Whereas, it's mentioned, he kills the Rishta, he slams him to the ground like a wet rag. We read that story when I was in Vrindavan about 5 years ago. It was with Omkar. And one day we were on the Govardhan Parikram. We walk around in the morning. And then we were walking by one little shop. And there was some woman in there, and she had this wet rag, and she was smashing it on the ground. And we had just read the pastime the night before. So Omkar started laughing. And then it was sort of one of those moments with clairvoyance. You know, I could understand why he was laughing. And we laughed for a long time. Still we laugh about that, just remembering how Arishta was killed like a wet rag. He was just smashed to the ground, and we saw the woman smashing the wet rag. But in any case, there in Goloka, Krishna will he actually harnesses Arishta, and he uses him to plow fields and stuff like that. And for Keshi, even devotees ride on him. And sometimes Krishna takes Kaliya there, and he harnesses him, rides him like a horse. So the pastimes of killing the demons there are very much different than the ones we hear about here in Gokula Dham. So we're in a very fortunate situation. And also, speaking of that, as mentioned in this book, the way in which Gopa Kumar and also his disciple finally go back home, back to Godhead, is from that Gokula Dham. They go there and perform their kirtan. And from there, they're transported back home, back to Godhead. So we've been given this opportunity to live in Gokula. One can live there physically or mentally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. If you can't live there physically, which very few people can, you can cultivate that same mood and live there in your mind 24 hours a day. And that's what we can get by association with devotees who have imbibed that mood, and by associating with the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Prabhupada's purports, will perfectly guide us to that mood of living in Gokula Dham. That should be an ache within our heart, that we're feeling separation from that Dham, thinking of Govardhan Hill, remembering the residents of Vrindavan and their pastimes. If one fans that spark by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the association of like-minded devotees who are more advanced than oneself, then gradually that turns into a flame, and it becomes a burning fire within one's heart, that one is feeling separation from that Dham. This is necessary. This actually has to be done It's not a casual process, devotional service, but one has to develop this intense desire. Krishna bhakti ras bhavito mati kriyatam yadi kritopi labhyate tatalolyam apimulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritirna labhyate. There's one price to pay for attaining Krishna bhakti. It's not a cheap thing. It's lolyam. One must have intense greed to attain it. And it can't be had in millions of lifetimes by performing pious activities. One has to get it by service to the 100% pure devotees and by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam constantly. That means Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. 24 hours a day one has to hear the Bhagavatam, breathe the Bhagavatam. And now we're going to hear from some of those sages who have come here to this Naimasaranya of Silicon Valley. This is the exact center of Silicon Valley, which we strategically marked out. What? Is it? Okay. We'll take a few reflections then. 9:45, I've just been informed. I did not know that. Because I had some... I just wanted to read you a little part of this, but in the meantime, please go ahead for a few reflections. As to not become monotonous from my side.
So Maharaj, when I was coming to the temple on the way, when I was hearing the constant reminder about how many years we have left in our life and how much we can really do and how many times we can read Srimad Bhagavatam. So yesterday in Radhashtami, in the night when we were, I was talking to Kameshwari Mataji, we have very few Radhashtamis in our life. So this was one of them. So we just relished that part, but then this is a constant reminder, time is running really fast, really fast. When I was driving, my mind was like thinking, we need to rush to focus the right things. So just appreciate that.
Yeah, this is a sign of advancement called avyarta kalatvam, which means that the devotee doesn't want to be fully aware of the gift of human life, fully aware of the precarious situation in the material world, and fully aware of the value of being in contact with the holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And because of that, a devotee actually becomes greedy, as much as a big businessman who realizes his potential for earning money doesn't want to be away from the trading floor ever. Is always in contact, has all kinds of devices so he can stay in contact because he's making money and that's his main concern. So devotees have that same mood, only collecting the verses of the Bhagavatam and collecting how many Hare Krishna mantras can I finish today and in this lifetime? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, I have a question actually. So do spirit souls in spiritual world, do they have family like we have here?
Yes. And you'll see it in Goloka, excuse me, in Gokula, that families are there. Can I have that verse from the 10:14? 10th canto, 14th chapter. And until one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then one's family becomes like they're like foot shackles. One's attachments. So yes, you can see in Gokula, residents there, they're very attached householders. But their whole lives are so dedicated to Krishna. That attachment is glorious. This is a verse from 10:14:36. Yastenas tavat kara graham graham tavan mohon gri nigado yavat Krishna natejaraha. My dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves, their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. And you see there that there's Grihastas, they all have their paraphernalia also, and homes and things like that. But everything is fully connected to this prema. In fact, even it's mentioned in Vaikuntha how the residents there are flying on their airplanes and they have their beautiful consorts. That's a more beautiful form you might see in the material world, but you say, but Prabhupada mentions, they're not attracted at all because of the overwhelming prema in their heart. So it's nothing impersonal. Everything that we see in this world is a reflection of the spiritual world. All the homes and gardens and relationships that the people have are there. But it's all in relationship to their service to Krishna. What else? Yes.
Thinking about what Gopakumar went through, the emotions. And yesterday I was reading about the section in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Vipralamba. And I was thinking, how is it possible for a devotee to understand the Vipralamba Bhav when we haven't even met Krishna yet?
Kaviraj Goswami says, it's like if you've ever been bitten by a snake, which I've there's a searing pain from the poison. And at the same time, if someone's pouring nectar on your head, he said it's like that. It's like at once, at the same time, the searing pain and nectar being poured on the head. So, yeah, this Vipralamba is actually highly valued. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. Let's think about Vipralamba. When there's union, you're there and there's one Krishna. You're there with Krishna and there he is. When there's separation, the devotees see Krishna everywhere at all times because they're in so much separation. You notice the gopis when they're in there, Krishna separates himself from them at the rasa dance and they're going through the forest and they're seeing Krishna within everything. They're talking to all the creepers and the trees and everything like that. And everything that happens, they say, oh, that's Krishna, this is Krishna, it's a sign from Krishna and so forth. Practically, this separation brings one closer to Krishna. It's paradoxical. But the feeling is, it's the highest kind of ecstasy, the highest kind of pleasure. It's not connected to the three modes of material nature, like ignorance and passion that one might have in this world. There's some semblance of the feelings we have in this world, but as described, imagine them without the inebrieties that come with the emotions we have here. And so it's just pure pleasure. But it's intensified by in different ways, especially by separation. Yes.
Prabhuji, yesterday you were mentioning about how the living entity will be fully satisfied if he pleases Krishna's senses rather than serving his own senses. So we do understand that we are practicing the Vaidhi Bhakti, it's following rules and regulations. But then many times when I see like I'm chanting or serving, I don't really feel that actually I, please Krishna's senses. So is that mood has to be cultivated, Prabhuji, or it will come over the period of time by just doing it regularly?
Well, but we may not have a clear understanding of how we're pleasing Krishna's senses. Therefore, we have this way, we have the spiritual master. Therefore, it's mentioned, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. By pleasing the spiritual master, then one pleases Krishna. And if one doesn't please the spiritual master, one doesn't please Krishna. So there's a way in which Krishna appears to us. In fact, it's mentioned that the spiritual master in one's life is this special mercy incarnation of Krishna. to give us this local access. Example, looking in a telescope. You go up to those large telescopes up on the hills where they have observatories. They're gigantic. Have you seen the big ones? I mean, the large end is, I mean, it's bigger than these windows, that the skylights, maybe twice, they're huge. And then the small end, it just fits your eye. You can just put your eye right here. And someone might look at the telescope and say, well, I want to look in the big end. Why do I have to look in the small end all the time? But actually, the guru comes as a representative of Krishna, the small end. And there's a way in which Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion that's happening by Krishna's internal potency, that one gets this local guidance. And by attending to the order of the spiritual master, he said, any of my success, it's coming from this. He took that from the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who says in the verse, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Eki Hakura Nandana, that Krishna says one must fully fix one's mind without deviation on me. And in the commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this means fixing one's mind on the order of the spiritual master. So that order is a product of the internal potency. And if one attaches oneself to that and does one's level best throughout this life to take that up, then one, as Prabhupada writes in the second canto of Bhagavatam, comes by this method, one will come face to face with Krishna. So you can get that kind of feedback from your Shiksha Diksha gurus and understand, you know, how I'm in devotional service. How am I pleasing Krishna's senses? I please my immediate authority. That's practical. Please my immediate authority. Their immediate authority is then connected up, and then you have this, okay, that's how I can understand. And as long as you're pleased, I'm happy. This is the mood of advanced devotees. Yes. Yes.
I have some question, a silly question that sometime...
Silly question. We give $100 for each silly question, but let me make sure I have the money here. Okay, go ahead.
Maharaj, your life is wealth for us, real wealth. Sometime like the practicing the topic you brought, that the thing that we can't do in the spiritual world, that two things, but sometimes some devotee says that, okay, if you don't Lord, what you will do in the spiritual world, because that things are only available to practice. So I was just trying to understand how.
Well, we do have to get trained up. We do get trained up. Prabhupada mentioned that pujaris, what they're doing in this life, it just transfers to the spiritual world because you're just Krishna. And so those who are on their way to the spiritual world, don't go directly to Goloka. They stop in a universe in the material world where Krishna is performing his pastimes, and they're born into a family that's connected to Krishna. And there they learn what their service is. They trained up in their service there. And then they become, you know, eligible to enter into the service in the spiritual world. So they make a stop on the way there. Does that answer your question?
So we have got both.
What?
The service that is not available here.
Service is not available here? Can you explain real quick? Got 1 minute left.
Sorry, the preaching that you so tell, that the preaching act, preachy things and...
Oh, I see, because you say it doesn't match up. To the, well, this is a kind of kirtan that we're doing, actually. The preaching is a kind of kirtan. That goes on. It's just, it goes on in a slightly different way. And the way that we're performing it is just slightly different. That's all. But the mood of it and the service aspect of glorifying Krishna, that goes on constantly in the. So it also transfers over. As I mentioned in this one chapter of how this preaching, book distribution, and so forth is, Prabhupada equated it with kirtan. Are you going to speak today? You do? Okay. There's 1 minute left. I keep saying that.
When you were talking about the Srimati Radharani's restless to give mercy to other people, I remember the story that I heard yesterday. So basically, there's some children who were beating a jackal. The jackal fell into a hole, and the children put like fire around it. And the jackal was screaming in pain. So Srimati Radharani, at the time, she was in Radhakund, and she heard the jackal screaming. So she sent to help the jackal. So Lalita chastised all the children and sent them away. She personally put out the fire. And she brought the jackal to Srimati Radharani, and the jackal fell at her feet for saving his life.
And next week, Vrindavan is going to be giving a Bhagavat Sapta here. Thank you very much for that. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanand. Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey! Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.